Tonight I'm going to preach a message to parents and grandparents. Some of you are parents, not yet grandparents, and some of you are grandparents and great-grandparents. But the Bible addresses that. I want to caution that I'm going to be saying a couple of things that are graphic, so if I hope it doesn't offend anyone, especially I hope it doesn't offend this pastor. I want to come back. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I thought he was coming after me already. I might get a little louder here in a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, grandparents, and all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. There's a great amount of Word of God is taught to parents. I know that the Bible, you know, it's a full library of the doctrines of the Lord. All of his mighty attributes, all these things, wonderful things that we have to fellowship in, to preach on, and to learn, and to rejoice in. But we live in an age that has been spoken of in the Word of God as an age when many parents have lost their natural affection toward their children. And especially toward their unborn children. And consequently, children are becoming less and less affectionate toward parents and toward people in general. We live in a highly permissive age that has been brought about by humanism and liberalism, modernism. Parents are being told by the modern progressives and psychologists that the Bible way of God, that is God's way, the Bible way of rearing children is out of style, obsolete, no longer effective, and just plain out of step. We're instructed in to encourage rebellion because it vents hostility. We're being told that child-parent conflicts are simply the expression of different points of view. We're being told that spanking will cause our children to be hostile toward others, that it will give them an inferior complex. Yet that same group, progressives, tell us that violent movies, violent cartoons, violent video games, the violent, wicked, vulgar rap music, and the vulgar, sick, filthy transgender shows will have no effect on their attitude. We're being told that our children ought to be allowed to seek religion their own way. You let anyone, a child or anyone else, seek religion their own way, they're not going to look up. They're just not. Not even your children. Beloved, this way of thinking is what has led us to where we are today, which is the age of child anarchy. Child anarchy leads to adult anarchy. And social anarchy as well. We're nearing anarchy when 3 or 4 year olds are ruling the house. When parents are afraid to discipline their children. And I mean that literally. Some parents, because of the way things are, some parents are afraid of their children. Literally afraid of them. We have a rapid accelerated rise in juvenile murder, rape, armed robbery, suicide, alcoholism, drug abuse. All these things are on the increase, not the decrease. So the experimental laboratory that the progressives began 20 years ago, we see where it is today. It's an absolute failure is where it is. When drug use, we're nearing our anarchy, when drug use and abuse is common and somewhat accepted as normal. When teenage pregnancy and teenage abortions are common and acceptable and encouraged. When 80% of all teens are involved in some type of premarital sexual activity. When homosexuality, transgenderism, is considered common and acceptable, normal behavior. We're in an age of anarchy. The NEA, National Education Association, one of the most ungodly organizations on the face of the earth, and I think they ought to be completely abandoned, destroyed. Not education, but this ungodly group of people here who have literally destroyed the education of our people. They're pushing in public schools across the country that to teach homosexuality as a normal behavior. Parents, pay attention to what your kids are learning and reading in school. You'd better pay attention, because the school systems do not want you to know what they're teaching. You know, I've always said, you know, if someone is trying to hide something from you, there's something bad wrong with it. And they deliberately hide things from the parent. So when the majority of the prison population is under the age of 25, we're in anarchy. When the average school campus is no longer a refuge, but a danger zone. And no matter what you have been told by the so-called experts, there is no substitute for the right kind of parental love that God has prescribed. If you are to rear your children in a way that is pleasing to God and in a way that will instill in their hearts and minds proper godly values, then you must enforce God's law. I'm talking about the laws of self-discipline, the laws of self-respect, the laws of respect for other people and the love of other people. You know, people hate each other today. It's a hateful world for some reason. We know what reason. I'll give you a bit of my outline here. Parents should love their children in this way: teaching, discipline, proper environment, good example, prayer, and tough love. We are to love our children. And, you know, I raise children. I know what it's like. And I say nothing in reflection to these children that are here today, because, you know, they are a mold. They're a soft ball of clay. And it's the parents' responsibility to prepare these people for society. And if we don't do our job, no one's going to do it for you. We should love our children with teaching. Every parent is responsible to God. Whether you like that or not, whether you agree with it or not, whether you even believe that there's a God or not, you're still responsible. And you'll stand before God and give an account as to how you raise your children. And I'm not talking about, you know, you doing everything perfectly, because we know we don't. I know I was never a perfect parent. My wife and I are not perfect. We weren't perfect parents. We made mistakes. Some of them we learned from, some we didn't. But the father, being the federal head, carries the primary responsibility upon his shoulders. Therefore, fathers, it is your responsibility to see that they get taught. And the unfortunate thing is that there are so many people in the world, in our country today, who do not have a father. That is, a father that will be the guide and the example and the federal head. You may be a single parent, and that's rough. I know it's rough. And just remember that you can't do it all. As a single parent, you just can't. You can't try to make a living and raise children at the same time and do everything that needs to be done. But trust God. Trust Him. And do the best you can. And the Lord will bless you. Teach them godly principles. To respect God's law. To obey God's law. To obey you, the parent and the head of the home. And the mom as the joint head. Teach them Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. Colossians 3:20. They both basically say the same thing. Ephesians 6:1. Children, you teach them this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Teach them that it's right. Teach them that they don't have to be embarrassed to obey you. That it's an honorable thing. Amen. Young folks, it's honorable. Yes. It's good for you to obey your parents. Yes. That's God's design. That's His perfect design. And if we follow His perfect design, it will work. Amen. Teach them to love God and to seek salvation. Teach them to abstain from sin. Teach them that sin is against God. That's important. Yes. It's against God. And God will surely bring sinners into judgment, and that they will surely give an account to God for their actions. But there is forgiveness in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only avenue of escape. Love your children with discipline. Ephesians 4:6, we're told to bring the children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Nurturing is training through instruction, discipline, correction, and chastening, and these things. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you teach them these things. There must be law and order in the home if there's going to be law and order on the street. Amen. That's where it begins.
Yes, it is.
History tells us that any society without law will surely fall. Likewise, a home without law will fall. For the home is the very foundation of any society.
Right.
The United States could be called modern Rome. The great Roman Empire fell mainly because the foundation of the home and family eroded. And people were too preoccupied with other things than to raise their children in a wholesome way. America the Great will also fall. She will also fall. There are already major cracks in the superstructure, in the foundation. There's already showing signs of weakness in the foundation. We have a group of people in the highest office in the United States who are endeavoring, and their life's ambition is to do away with the Constitution of the United States.
Right.
Constitution of the United States is important because it allows you to be here tonight in public, freely, without any intimidation from the government yet. And so kids are rebellious against authority. Teen crime is out of control. We hear large crime rings today. 99% of the gang members in gangs around the country today are young people. Some even 12 and 13 years old. Carrying weapons. Looting stores. Beating people in the streets. Why? It begins at home. And I sympathize again with parents, single parents. But do your best. Do everything that you can do. Trust God. He'll give you strength every day. And he'll reward your desires and your determination in Him. Trust Him. Teen sex is common. TV ads are encouraging. So is the school system encouraging birth control for children. Proverbs chapter 13. And again, I want to encourage young people here to you be not a burden to your family, not a burden to your parents, but you be a blessing to them. You help them. You understand their responsibility. Your parents have the... Listen, young people, your parents have the most important responsibility on the face of this earth. And that is to raise you to be a decent human being in the society that you live. Parents are preparing these little people to be adults. And if you don't prepare them, somebody else will. And it won't be the way that you would hope. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now that word betimes simply means early. You do it early. Don't wait till your teen is out of control and then start trying to do something.
That's right.
You start when they're babies. And you teach them and you nurture them and you love them and you show your affection and teach them how to be affectionate. Teach them the Word of God. And the word rod there, it literally means a rod. But they're you know, we understand that God does not intend for us to use a ball bat to beat our children every time they step out of line for something. We have to use that rod wisely. Beloved, we must not be intimidated by the modern liberal, atheistic, godless, progressive philosophers and teachers and psychologists today who are lying to you and lying to your children about how things ought to be, how they ought to do their children. They cry unfair. They cry child abuse. They cry child rights. Well, I'm not saying I was a perfect parent, but I'm telling you this. When my children were growing up under me, they didn't have any rights. They didn't have any rights unless I gave them the rights. Otherwise, they live by the laws of the home. I gave my children a right to their opinion, but I didn't give them a right to rebel. God, so He's not left this up to without instruction and how to discipline. There's plenty of information in the Word of God. You have to seek it out. It's your responsibility to do that. He not only gives the method, but He gives the manner in which we are to carry out our task. Oh my goodness. Paul warned us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Colossians 3:21, not to provoke our children to wrath. And so we're not to be in such that we badger them and do all kinds of things to intimidate them, nagging them, screaming at them. I did my share of screaming too. So, you know, I'm not... This is one position where you can say, do as I say and not as I do. God never tells us anywhere in the Bible to punish our children without compassion. If you attempt to discipline your child in another way, you're going to run into rebellion and resentment. Okay, moving on, let's hear. Love your children with the proper environment. By proper environment, I mean a clean, wholesome and atmosphere, a godly atmosphere, where they see the Lord Jesus Christ in the center of everything in your life.
Amen.
Kids are exposed to enough today, too much trash in the world. The least we can do is provide them a home where they will be safe from this wickedness, at least for a time. Now these children here today, these children are going to be going out into the world. And I don't agree with this philosophy that, well, you might as well expose them now because they're going to get exposed and it'll be such a shock to them. I don't agree with that.
No.
I believe what you're doing is building a strong constitution in them where they're able to more resist these temptations. Kids don't need to see these things. They don't need to see what the world wants to show them and hear the trash of the world that's set to music and other things. We see that your children are exposed to good, clean, filtered, and wholesome activities. A warning, nonetheless. Instill a godly principle in the hearts of your children by not putting good, clean, fun-filled activities ahead of church. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do that are just, you know, good, clean, wholesome things until you substitute that for the Lord's services, the Lord's church. When you do that, it becomes sin.
That's right.
And so let them know that the Lord's house and the Lord's day is more important than anything else in their life. Love your children with a good example. Be an example in your temperament. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. But violence cometh the mouth of the wicked. Be an example in truthfulness. Don't lie to your children for any reason at any time. It's a lot easier sometimes to lie, to avoid a conflict, or to do something you want to do, or get them to do something you want them to do. It's easy to lie. Don't lie to your children. Two things. You lie to your children, you're going to teach them to lie. And you're also going to cause them not to trust you.
That's right.
Don't lie to your children. The best example that a father can set for his children is to lead them in holiness. Or mother, or grandparent, lead them in holiness. Good example. Tell them that Jesus has done for you what Jesus has done for you and will do for them. Yeah. Psalms 37:16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I'm going to try to move on ahead here. I've got 5 minutes according to my clock. James 5:16 says, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are to love our children with prayer. Your prayers do not be more concerned about their academic and athletic abilities as you are with their spiritual welfare and their spiritual future. I'm not against athletics. I'm not, certainly not against academics. I wish I had some. But there's things more important, and that's the spiritual things. Don't neglect that. Pray that God would be pleased to save them and use them in His service in some special way. Pray for them and pray with them. Maybe I can get through this next one. Last one. Love your children with tough love. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his child. I want you to go back and read that later in private. Search your own heart, your own soul. If you are going to love your children at all, they must be loved with tough love. With Solomon, there was a saying that this is this. Do not allow sympathy, he says, to cloud your judgment in doing what must be done to bring up your child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. If your motive for loving them is an unselfish one, it will be much easier to love them with tough love. The right motive. We don't ever discipline your children to vent your own anger. You may end up hurting them. You can't please your kids all the time. And you can't make them like you all the time. If you're trying to please them and get them to like you all the time, you're digging a hole that you are not going to be able to get out of. Remember, children are fools. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And I say that with all due respect to these young people. And you'll understand what I'm talking about in a minute. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. They're fools, but they're not stupid. And their human nature, they have a depraved nature just like you. And from birth, they're going to try to take advantage of you and find your weakness. I know. My wife knows. You have them too. Kids are not stupid. They're selfish, and they will use every method and tactic that their intelligence will allow them to their advantage. I will say this: the Lord changes the heart of an individual, whether you're a child or an adult. And that changes everything. That changes everything. They have a different motive. They have a different look on life. They have a different attitude, because salvation changes your attitude. If you do this early, you won't have to do it later. And so, in closing, this last word here: children are the most precious asset on earth. They are the future society. We are to love our children according to the Word of God. They are the future church. I look out there and I see some old people. I don't know how y'all got that way. But it's not going to be long. We're going to be gone. And these are the people that's going to be taking over in our place. May God bless you.